Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 242. And my guest today is Celine from the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, Celine contacted me to ask about being a guest on The Dream Show because, although she's been listening to The Dream Show for quite a long time and really enjoys it, she just had one of the first dreams in her entire life. Yes, you heard that right. She's totally absorbed in The Dream Show, really interested in dreams, but has only just had one of the first dreams in her entire life. So she was so excited because she remembered it in a lot of detail. She put her hand up to be a guest on The Dream Show. And I thought, I am really excited to explore a dream that is remembered after all that time. And what is it? What will we discover about that dream that made it break through and be one of Celine's first remembered dreams in her entire life? So we're getting on to Celine in just a moment. If you haven't listened to The Dream Show before, what happens is that when we have a guest on the show, we line it all up. And the only thing that I don't know is anything about the dream that the guest is going to bring. So the first time I hear the dream is when we start recording the conversation with the guest. So what you hear is what I hear, and we go from there. And so you become immersed in that whole exploration of a dream, finding out what it means, how it relates to the guest's life, what insight they can get, and often a dream alchemy exercise included, as this one is here. And obviously, we've just finished recording with Celine, so I do actually know what the dream is about, and I'm just here putting the beginning of the show on. Before we go there, just a mention of the websites. My main website, janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, is where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And of course, you can always listen to the last 10 or so on the usual podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically wherever you listen to your podcasts, there we are. And also at janeteresa.com, you can read hundreds of blogs about dreams and dreaming. You can find out about my books, my ebooks, how to contact me to have private consultations, the various programs I run, and of course my courses. Now the main courses are over at my other website, The Dream Academy, and the address for that is dream-academy-online.com. And that's where you can do a whole range of courses, beginning with how to interpret your dreams step by step, and going all the way through, if you wish, to doing a course to become a professional dream therapist. But right now, let's get back to Celine and her first remembered dream in her entire life. Welcome to The Dream Show, Celine.
Hi.
Thank you for putting up your hand to be a guest.
I am so excited to do this. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I know you're from the Bay Area of San Francisco, and I know that when you contacted us to volunteer to be a guest, you said, I am really intrigued by dreams, but I have hardly ever remembered a dream, and suddenly I have one. And that was just too compelling. I thought, we've just got to have you on the show. What is this dream that has broken through after how long?
I mean, my entire life, pretty much.
Okay, well, give us your dream and let's see what it's all about.
Yeah, sounds good. So I had this dream a couple of weeks ago, and it was so vivid that I decided to write it down. So I'm going to try to read it off because I was worried about I'd forget all the details. And when I wrote it down, it was about 2 pages, which, again, you know, given that I don't remember my dreams, was shocking for me.
Right. That's fabulous. Right. Yeah, we're ready.
Sounds good. All right. So I am flying home in my dream, and there are 2 legs to the flight. The first one is from San Francisco, which is where I live, to Germany. And then the second one is from Germany to Istanbul, which is where I grew up and where my family currently lives. I haven't been home in a long time because of COVID, and I really miss my parents. I actually have a very close relationship with them. But for some reason, in the dream, the journey doesn't have this uplifting feel to it of going home. I feel nervous. It feels more like an obligation, almost like a work trip, but I know that I'm going home. I'm not at all worried about the first leg of the trip, and it goes really smoothly and quickly, you know, no turbulence. There's an empty seat next to me. It feels great. Once I get to Germany, though, I really start to feel my worries peaking. And I know it's going to be hard, and I'm worried about not being able to get home. And it's not a sense of disappointment. I almost feel like I'm worried about not being able to achieve it. When we're in Germany, I realize I'm going home with a middle-aged Chinese American man. He is short, he feels frail and quiet. I can get a feeling that we're not friends, but maybe work acquaintances, something like that. Once we get out of the flight, I realize why I'm nervous. I don't know when my connecting flight is, and I don't have any idea where to get my boarding pass. So I frantically ask everyone around me at the airport. The airport is very nice, very modern, actually feels like one of the airports I've been to in Germany. And then people lead me to this office where they're printing boarding passes. And the place is a complete shamble. It reminds me of like a really old government building, stale smells, chip paint everywhere, old furniture. It's crowded, it's chaotic. People look like they're from the 80s. They have perms, shoulder pads, they're smoking cigarettes. Feels like a place that my mom used to take me to when, you know, when she was running errands when I was little.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to get someone's attention to help me. I have a sense that I'm missing my flight. And while the people who work there see me, I get the sense that they're intentionally ignoring me, or that's how I feel. Yeah. And I hear them kind of whispering in the background, Turkish people are like this. I can't really recall what they said, but they're very typical stereotypes about Turkish people. And I keep thinking, that's so not true about me. Like, stop saying those things about me. And I feel like I wait there forever, both resigned to the fact that there's nothing else I can do, but also really angry and desperate that nobody's listening to me. Finally, someone says in the most conceited voice that they will help me, but kind of trying to shut me down because they're sick of me kind of like trying to get their attention. I can tell they're not really going to help me, and probably the opposite. Like, probably they feel this power over me. And you know, I see them laughing with their friends to show that like they're not going to help me, but how like they're seeing me getting worked up. Then suddenly I have this pot of flowers in my hand that shows up, and I realize that they also need to be inspecting my plants before I go home. The flowers are not like usual pretty flowers. They're succulents, and there's a really random collection of them, and they're not particularly well thought out. Like, they just look like a random bunch of succulents that were planted together. I feel like I don't really love the plant, but I really love the planter. I bought it apparently from a fancy shop that's really expensive, and the planter snakes around. It's not just one piece. It just has this coil like look. And when I look closely, I see that between those coils, there are other plants that are growing and kind of going out from between the coils. And I feel really disappointed by this growth because I hadn't noticed it before. And, you know, I was so busy looking at the top and being so meticulous about, you know, how it looks from the top. I decide that I want to put it away. Because, you know, I feel like I'll be in this office forever. It's really heavy. I find this muddy place with worms and maggots and think about, should I put it there? Because there's not a better place to put it. And then all of a sudden I have this impulse and I put it there. And then I immediately regret it because I feel like I'm never going to pick it up from there. So I tell the Chinese American man that I would really appreciate if he picks it up when he's done and brings it home for me. And he says yes, and I realize that I ask him to do stuff like this all the time. And then I'm really tense, and I woke up from my dream, almost like it was a nightmare, and then I fell asleep again a few minutes later. And I woke up in the same place, but now the planter is gone, but where it was, there is this huge cage with a ton of different bugs, and they're sorted in small cages. I don't even know what kind of bugs they are, but I know that this is now what I need to pass through the office to go home. I still don't know when my flight is, but now I feel like I'm not missing my flight. I still feel like I have time. I feel like I have another few hours. So I decide that because these bugs are going to take time, I want to go get a bite to eat. And there's this Japanese restaurant that I remember that I really want to go to. But I feel hesitant that this place is really fancy and it's going to really take a long time to eat there. And then I'm contemplating whether I should go to the food court instead, and the food is just as good. So I tell my Chinese American friend again to keep on the bugs for me until they're cleared from customs, and start heading over to the food court. And I can tell I'm a little bit disappointed by the choice I made. And then I wake up.
Oh my goodness, what amazing recall for somebody that doesn't usually remember their dreams. Well done. I think you know, even not understanding the dream, I think you deserve gold medals. You must be really proud of yourself.
Yeah, I really am. Thank you for saying that.
Well done. Just out of interest, before we look at this dream, have you had more dream recalls since then?
Yeah, not to this extent, but I have been remembering more of my dreams. So normally when I wake up, I feel like I haven't even dreamt at all. Now I can remember I had a dream and I know roughly what it's about.
Oh, good. That is fantastic. So the details will start to come back as well. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, we will, of course, go through the dream. And as you know, because I do know that you've been listening to the dream show for a long time, because you told me, even though you haven't had dreams of your own, I know that you'll know that the dreams begin by processing what's been happening for us consciously and unconsciously in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, and then comparing that to your whole past, and sometimes projecting forward to how am I going to deal with these possible issues in the future, or what are the changes that I have processed while I've been sleeping and dreaming, how are they going to play out in the future. But so first of all, we're really looking at that 1 to 2 days before the dream, but particularly in your case, because this is the first dream that you've remembered forever, almost ever, I'm going to be really intrigued to find out what was happening for you in the 1 to 2 days before the dream that actually brought this huge dream and this dream recall on, but we'll get to that later. Yeah. One of the small things that jumped out at me from the dream was a number of places where you mentioned that you were disappointed. Mm-hmm. There were a few of those. You probably noticed that as well, and particularly because the dream finishes with you feeling disappointed by your choice to go to the food court instead of the Japanese restaurant. So there's a sense that one of the many things this dream is exploring is a sense of disappointment, or probably be in the 1 to 2 days beforehand, a sense of suddenly realizing, you know what, I've been doing this all my life, or I've been thinking, feeling this way all my life, and I hadn't realized this, and now I'm kind of disappointed about that, and I'm kind of waking up to that. So let's explore this in this dream, a sort of shift in how you want to be in the world and take action in the world. So that's one sort of, you know, area we're becoming from.
Funny, because I wrote down, because I've been watching or listening to your podcast, I wrote down what I was thinking about the days leading up to, and I literally wrote the word disappointment down. So
okay, that's good. Beautiful demonstration of how our dreams just pick up the issues and zoom into them and sort them out for us. That's really good. The other one is that even though you were going home in the beginning, you were going home to see your parents, and particularly you're missing your parents due to COVID, not getting home, that feeling of going home, and it was made very personal by the thought of your parents. The theme, the context through the dream kept referring back to work, like the Chinese American guy that you said felt like more like a work colleague than anything else. And then there were various mentions of work that I wrote down as we were going through. The fact that the people in the office were working on or not working on processing your boarding passes and things. So there's a sort of undercurrent, and also as we explore the symbolism, to me, that this is actually about work rather than about personal issues of going home. So it's a sense of what's happening for work with you at the moment. Dreams operate on many levels. So, you know, you can look at a dream and say, oh, this is reflecting what's happening in your personal life. And interestingly enough, it's also reflecting what's happening in your work life. And it's also reflecting what's happening in your creative life or whatever. And they're all sort of connected. But the main thrust of your dream seems to be around work. So I don't know yet. We'll explore whether that disappointment has anything to do with work choices or what's happening for you at work that may be seeping into other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. And of course, the other big thing, you know, particularly looking at the end of the dream, is that it finished, or the end of the dream after you woke up and went back to sleep again, was that sense of a choice. I'm disappointed by a choice that I've made. There's something, the Japanese restaurant that I really have wanted to go to, but it's fancy, it'll take a long time, and I really should go to the food court because it's the same, you know, I'll still get good food, but I'm disappointed in that choice. So we know that kind of the end of the dream is that you haven't resolved the issue, that the dream will help us to understand what's come up and what needs to be resolved and what light we can throw on that. But the end of the dream is like, yeah, I'm aware that I'm disappointed in myself and maybe not making a choice of something that I perhaps judge as fancy, but it is something I've wanted for a long time, and I've judged for myself that it might take a long time, and I'm disappointed that I maybe take less valued options, make choices that aren't really what I want, or make choices because I think I shouldn't be fancy, or I shouldn't, have a long-term commitment, shouldn't be, I should be wanting quick results now, the food court, not the Japanese. So we know that's kind of where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't even know what to say. That is also true.
Okay. So we'll deal with the bit in the middle. And I'm particularly excited when we get to the bit about the plants and the planter. I think that's going to be really helpful for you.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm right at the beginning of the dream now, Celine. When you do fly to Istanbul, do you normally take two flights? Do you normally go through Germany?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so that's not a dream symbolism. That's kind of like that is the route that you would normally take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and when you do go back to Istanbul, pre-COVID, is it just to see your parents and family, or is it ever to do with anything else in your life?
No, it's just to see my family and friends.
Okay, so there's a sense of the beginning of the dream is a sense of connecting with my family and friends, and perhaps also connecting with where I was born. How long did you live in Istanbul before you moved to the States?
Until I was 18.
Oh, so substantial development time there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the whole beginning of the dream may be about returning to, okay, what happened in the first 18 years of my life? Where am I coming from? To some extent, I'd like to be able to get back to that, you know, because the beginning of the dream is I'm trying to get home. And this can be, you know, even on a spiritual level, I'm trying to get home to the essence of myself or to something that happened in my first 18 years or some sense of home within myself, whether that's Istanbul, whether that's States, whether that's not geographical, whether it's a sense of myself, but a sense of wanting to get back. And yet not feeling uplifted about it, feeling nervous, feeling like it's an obligation and feeling like a work trip. That was your first reference to work.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of what was really throwing me off about this because, you know, again, listening to your show a lot, like I know that coming home has this feeling of, you know, going back to something, but it really throws me off that it also feels like an obligation. I'm not feeling relieved by this. I almost feel like I don't want it.
Mm. So it could be from what you say there, it could be on one level that although you're keen to explore your perhaps your spiritual home or your sense of self, there's a part of yourself that feels, oh, I guess like this is a duty. I should be doing this. It's an obligation. It feels like a work thing. I'm nervous about what I might find about myself. Do I really want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. It's almost like you know that the values, or you've heard on the dream show the value for other people in doing this, and you think, yeah, there's probably a good thing. Maybe it's like the long time going to the Japanese restaurant, but I'm not really sure that I really want to put in all that effort. I don't want it to feel like work. I want this to be, I've got enough work on my plate. I want this to feel, this has got to feel personal, this has got to feel exciting, mm-hmm. this has got to feel uplifting, and it doesn't feel like that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is true. That is very true.
But you get to the halfway stage, the first leg is easy, getting to Germany, and there's an empty seat beside you. So although Germany is an actual stop on the way to Istanbul, what do you associate? Let's go back to the actual trip. What do you feel when you normally get to Germany? How do you feel about that stage in the actual trip in life?
It's interesting. Like there's this part of me, to go to Germany, you're 80% of the way is to go to Germany, and then it's only a couple more hours to go home. So it feels like I'm really close to home. But it also always makes me nervous because when I'm in the US, I feel like being Turkish, it's such a melting pot that being Turkish feels like, you know, I'm part of the culture here. Whereas in Germany, I feel this feeling of other. And I usually feel nervous about, oh, you know, your visa is not right or something. That it always makes me nervous that something will prevent me from going home.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a feeling that the 80, if we're looking at the personal journey, you know, the journey within and or your journey and feelings about work at the moment, there's a sense that 80% of the way you can do, that's really good. Mm-hmm. But once you get into exploring the territory of feeling other, that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
So yeah. Even though you're totally comfortable living in the US because being Turkish is part of the, is, you know, part of the multicultural feel of where you live in San Francisco, there's this feeling of, even though you're comfortable with that, perhaps unconsciously there are maybe 20% of you isn't, and there are aspects there that where you are probably not actually judged by anyone else for being other, but you judge yourself for being other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Both at work and in personal life, you know, there's this not being born here thing that's always makes you different, makes you, you know, in good and challenging ways.
Mm, yeah. And like 80% good and 20% challenging ways. So many people can relate to this because they're, you know, many of us these days are living in countries which are not the countries we were born and raised in. So that sense of other is and settling into different cultures and environments is something that I think many people feel both uplifted and challenged by.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
As we go through your dream, you know, I could sense that there are parts of the dream there where you are where parts of yourself are berating you and bringing you down. So we'll come to that. And so, you know, that's probably those parts that say, but you're Turkish, but you're not born and bred here, but this, but that, but, you know, but. So we'll mm-hmm. come to that. So you're disappointed that, I'm back at the beginning of the dream again, you're disappointed that you're in Germany and you're feeling nervous and you're trying to get home. You're worried that you won't get home. You said you're not disappointed, but you're worried about not achieving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like if I don't go home, I'm not worried about missing out on experience, but I think I'm just like, I almost see it as if I don't figure out this boarding pass thing, it'll be because of my incapability that I won't be able to go home. Like if the flight was canceled, I don't think I'd be disappointed. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. So it's coming back on you. You're taking responsibility for, I've got to be good enough to be able to achieve this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is why it sort of, to me, resonates with a work kind of thing as well. This is about, do I feel good enough? What am I achieving? What do I judge myself for not achieving? When do I maybe take shortcuts like choose the food court option of achieving rather than Japanese restaurant option of achieving?
Yeah, could be. I'm not quite sure what the Japanese restaurant represents. It could go both ways. Let me maybe tell you what happened a day or two before, which may change your...
Yes.
It was a very... So I started a new job a few months ago And it's been a pretty big cultural shift in terms of, you know, the previous job I had versus the new job I have. So, and, you know, starting a new job during COVID and remotely is tough. So maybe there's that element of, you know, I am a little bit of an outsider because there's all these people who know each other, you know, in person. And here I am, the person who's kind of an outsider. And a lot of people have worked at this company for 10, 20 years. So I'm so new and I'm not there in person. So I had a very busy week at work where I was working till like midnight, sometimes later. And it was a very challenging week. And I feel like I ended the week on a really good note. And I didn't get a sense from anybody that I did a good job particularly. But maybe I felt very disappointed that I pushed so hard. And I, you know, it was kind of like, oh, good for you, kind of a response or nothing at all. So that made me feel really disappointed because, you know, I was like, when you put in those hours, right, like I didn't have time to do anything else. And so, like, I do wonder if part of it is like, I don't feel like I have time for anything for myself could be that, you know, that choice.
Yes.
Or is it the success? I'm not quite sure, but you know, would love your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And more of I will give you them, and more of the dream will add to that as well. That's, yeah, thank you for that. Oh, I think we can all relate to that, the sheer amount of time and effort you put into something and it seems to go into this black hole and you go, yep, I'm listening.
Yep.
Did I actually do that? Anyone receive that? And as you say, particularly because due to COVID, you're working remotely, you're not even seeing people to even judge any physical reaction to it at all. But I guess, you know, underlying all of that is the feeling that we judge ourselves as well. So, you know, rather than just knowing that you did a really brilliant job and that you lacked time to yourself, but you really put in the hours and you turned out something absolutely amazing during the challenge. I guess what you're saying also, and then what the dream is saying is, but that's not enough. It's not enough to know that I did that. I actually want people to respond, to reflect that feeling back to me,
which
is normal and natural and human. But if we're really being tough and kind of spiritual on ourselves, it's interesting to note that we kind of need that it's not enough just to do it, to sit back and go, oh, I'm really pleased with that. Oh, that's great. You know, I can do that again, or maybe I can shorten the hours, but yeah, I feel really good. I feel self-satisfied. I'm going to sleep tonight. We go, come on. I need to know that I was as good as I think I was there. So that's, that's the kind of achievement thing coming in, I think, there, which is great. So we will come to, I can see what you're saying there, that may reflect on the Japanese restaurant versus the food court. The food court, maybe. Okay, you didn't give me the feedback that I really want. food court. The feedback that I really wanted this time. So next time, I'm just going to give you a quick food court approach. I'm just going to do it quickly, send it off, because it's the same kind of thing anyway. That, as you say, which you say in the dream, Japanese restaurant or food court. You said it's all the same food, all the same thing. Or are you going to spend the long Japanese restaurant approach, you know, preparing the fish in the correct way, laying out your knives, doing it all properly, doing it beautifully, doing it immaculately, as with Japanese restaurant, you know, focusing on the presentation, how it looks, rather than the food court kind of gobble it down. So there could be that, you looking at the way that you sat up all week and did that work, you actually did, from what it sounds like, the Japanese restaurant style version, and you're thinking, well, if that was all they thought, maybe I'll just give them the food court version next time, see how that goes down.
Yeah, no, it could be. The other way that I'm like wondering is like whether I wonder if, you know, if I should like reduce the time I spend on myself, and if, you know, like I don't deserve to like spend time on myself, and that I should like even amp up the work more because they didn't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, that's possibly going on within you, and there's some dream pointers to that indeed. So you've picked that up, and it is absolutely not the answer in life, is it? Because if we don't spend time on ourselves, we actually get worn out, burnt out, little blobs that can't even produce what we want. So there's all of that going on. So let's explore a little bit more and get a bit deeper. You meet the short, frail, quiet Chinese American male who feels like a work colleague. What's your feeling about people that are Chinese American? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about, so I, when I came to the US, like, I think my closest friends are Chinese American, and I think we generally share this like deep value of being hardworking and being really, you know, dedicated to the work, and just kind of putting your head down and kind of getting it done. Yes. So that's the value that I really relate to within myself. And kind of going back to, you know, like some of these characters being you. Mm-hmm. So that is a value that I really, really relate to, that I grew up with, that when I came to the US, I saw that a lot of my Chinese American friends had, that I, you know, deeply resonated with.
Yes. Yeah, perfect sense. So, just reminding anybody listening in that isn't familiar with what you mentioned there is that when we explore dreams, we look at everybody and everything in the dream as reflecting an aspect of ourselves. So, and because you've listened to so many shows, you know this, and you've analysed that very beautifully yourself. Well done. Taking it very deep and hardworking and dedicated. Got your head down, got it done. So, In the dream, because he's the male too, it's almost like at that point, and when I was listening to your dream, when you read it out, I thought, oh good, here's the male. This again is suggesting that it's about work, because the men in our dreams can represent our male side, which is our, whatever our gender, our male side is our left brain, our analytical self, our approach to the outer world, and therefore generally can represent how we go about our work. So you've got this sense of, yes, I go about my work in the same way as Chinese American closest friends do, head down, bottom up, hardworking, dedicated. That's me. I relate to that. And yet in the dream, he appears as short and frail and quiet. So there's an idea there that perhaps you work so hard or you're so dedicated in that way that your energy may be frail, maybe mm-hmm. shorter rather than tall and powerful. Mm-hmm. Quiet, of course, can be a wonderful virtue. It can also be that you're not heard. So it's a sense of seeing perhaps through the eyes of your dream, maybe a different version of your working self than you might otherwise recognize, that these can be the downsides. It can leave you frail, mm-hmm. not standing as tall as you could stand metaphorically, and maybe not expressing yourself in ways that might be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely see myself doing that for sure.
Yeah. So we would like to grow that, much as there are virtues in that, we want to put that into balance, bring out some of those qualities, which is kind of what the dream goes on to look at. So you then want to connect the flight, you want the boarding pass, like how do I get on with the next stage of this journey back to my sense of home, or back this journey back to my sense of how I should be at work or how I want to be at work. And so you find yourself in an office where they're printing boarding passes. So there we've got a reference to work again, an office. And it's mm-hmm. almost like a boarding pass is, it's a pass, isn't it? It's a permission, mm-hmm. a permission to get on with things. So, and this is a section of the dream where there's all these issues around, am I going to get the boarding pass? Am I going to get permission? Am I going to give permission to myself to break through this and continue this journey in some way, to maybe do my work in a way which also allows me to be generous and look after myself, to be well, to be more than I am in a more balanced sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot.
Yes. And that's where you see the shambles. And it takes you back to the 80s, and more than taking you back to the 80s, very visually in the dream, you painted such a lovely picture of that. It also takes you back to a time when you said it's like Mum used to take me, places she used to take me on her errands. So there's a feeling of, okay, this shambles around giving myself permission or getting permission to get back to my sense of self or find what I need in my life goes back to the 80s and goes back to when I was a child, and maybe has learned from my mum what was my mum's approach to having permission to look after herself or grow or not wear herself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom definitely was a very dedicated, I mean, is a very dedicated, like very dedicated to the family, doesn't really have time for herself, worked very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So because our upbringing has such a firm imprint on us, you know, it basically lays down a lot of our foundational beliefs about life and our patterns of living, even though we sometimes become quite unconscious of those. They move into our unconscious foundation and we think that we think different things and we think that we act differently. That basic foundational structure of beliefs in our lives can actually guide the way that we live and have a more powerful effect, you know, override our conscious decisions. So the dream at that point points out, well, this is your conditioning, Celine. This is what you've been made for, you know, like, don't look after yourself, put in the hard work, but don't nurture yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And that's
that makes so much sense.
Mm. And that's the point in the dream where you get the sense of maybe I'll miss the flight, like, oh, knowing that, you know, oh, that's going to be so hard to overcome that, or to be, how do I go back to that? And then there's all these people being intentionally, I can't read my word there, it's something to me, when people are saying Turkish people are like this, and you're saying, that's not true, stop saying that about me, that's going back to your programming within yourself that you may or may not have got from your mum when you perhaps moved to the States, you know, about what it is to be Turkish, what it is to be other.
Mm-hmm.
So you're experiencing that from an inner voice of your own. Those people in the dream are parts of yourself, quite unconscious, saying, oh, Turkish people are like this, and you're and another part of yourself, then no, stop saying that about me. So you're really having a battle with your inner critic that's saying that you're other.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom lived in Germany for a long time, and so my perceptions of how Germans perceived Turkish people comes a lot from the stories she told me about how it was for her. So I think, you know, that's really interesting that what's coming out and all of this ties to my mom and how I grew up. Like, I didn't make that connection at all, but it probably has to do with what she told me, how Germans think about Turks.
Yes, yeah. And so all that goes on board at some level, not just about what Germans think about Turks, but people in general may think about Turks, or I think of it that way, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that brings in you're angry and desperate that no one's listening to you when you're saying, stop saying that about me. So it brings up anger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it may or may not be that, you know, that you work hard. Well, desperate, no one's listening to me. And you've just told us that the day before, it's like I did all that work and nobody's given me any feedback. It's like no one's listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there can also be that sense of, you know, that's what it is to be Turkish. It's not true, but that you're telling yourself that it's because you're Turkish that mm-hmm. that people aren't giving you the feedback and the accolades that you want.
Or there's something about being other that you said, right? That I still feel like the other at my job. I don't feel like part of, you know, these people who've worked there for decades together. I still feel like the other. And so it probably brings that feeling of feeling like the other.
Yes, that makes sense. That feeling that you've got of being the other, not because you're Turkish, but because you're new to the company and you're working remotely. That sense of other resonating with where else in my life have I felt other?
Yeah.
This comes up beautifully with the plant, as you'll see. So we might just move along to that a little bit.
Okay.
So finally, someone comes to help you, but it feels like he's just doing it to shut you down and to exert his power over you, and even laughing with the friends that they seem to be getting work done. So there's a sense of, okay, this is the brave, courageous work, Selena, that we have to do when we look at everyone in our dreams as being a part of ourselves, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there's a part of yourself that goes, no. I'll sort this out. I can stand in my own power when I want to. I'll shut down that voice of other in me. I can, which is something you probably do have to do and do it admirably. You know, I'm going to stand in my power. I'm going to do this thing. That's what we all need to do to stand in our power. But you're seeing it in the dream as an overstep, as an extreme version, that you're not standing in your power because I want to be the best version of myself that I can be, but you're standing in your power in order to shut down the otherness feeling.
Seen to be getting work done.
I want to be seen to be getting work done rather than and acknowledged to be getting work done and seen to be powerful rather than just feeling that actually it's not about being seen to be getting work done. I am getting work done and I'm pleased with that and I'm showing I'm in my best power, not to be powerful, but because I'm not, going back to the Chinese guy, I'm not feeling frail and quiet and short. I'm feeling tall and strong and being heard. And that's not an overpowerful thing. That is me in my full power. Whereas in the dream, it's like this overcompensation. I've got to be right out there. I've got to be seen to be getting work done. I've got to be shutting down my inner critic. I've got to work much harder than anybody else because I have this sense of other. Whereas really, you could pull back.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when you start a new job, like you all, like at least for me, I overdo it. Because I'm trying to make that first impression. So I can definitely see, you know, the part of like the two parts of me that are battling it out.
Yeah, you know, and I think you and everyone else that starts a new job starts in the same kind of way that, you know, those are the pressures, aren't they? So you're far from alone in this, but it's really interesting how your dream is reflecting the undercurrents that you can then be aware of and use to change the way that you actually do interact at work. And this is where the plant comes in. This is the bit I really love, because the moment a dream gets really a bit more symbolic is where, you know, why would you suddenly find this pot of succulents in your hand and this lovely, beautiful spiral planter that they're in? Once you get this kind of really less logical part of the dream and more symbolism, it often relates to the real nub of the issue that you're dreaming about. And that's often because it's seen more symbolically because it's something you're less conscious of. So it's more in a, oh, my dreamy mind is kind of, well, it's a bit like a plant maybe, because you can't quite really put words around it yet. It's more unconscious.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's, oh, who put this pot of flowers in my hands? And whether you use your brain or your mind or your heart or whatever it is that you use to do your work, ultimately perhaps we use our hands to type, write, express, you know, so it's what am I handling here? And this is what needs to be inspected, isn't it, in the dream? Your pot of flowers has to be inspected to get your boarding pass, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, this is where I need the permission. I've got this stuff going on, and this is what it comes down to. Am I going to get through? Is this going to be enough? Am I going to have permission? Can I continue? And they're random succulents. What do you feel about succulents?
So I am not, I do not have a green thumb. I kill plants very easily, and I've always been told, oh, get succulents. You know, if you do, they're more resilient, and I kill succulents just as quickly as so I've always had this like love-hate relationship where every time I buy a new one I feel like, oh, here I go, I'm totally gonna do this, and then in 3 days they're done.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got other qualities apart from a lack of a green thumb. That's beautiful. So what you've described there is a sense of here I go, and yet within 3 days I don't, and I'm reaching out to be resilient here, resilient despite my sometimes sense of other, and I get all excited about something, and yet often it's been my experience that things don't happen, they don't go for me. Am I going to get my boarding pass this time? Am I going to get permission? Am I going to keep the succulents alive? Am I going to be able to grow through this job? Or am I going to, like the succulents, am I worried that they're going to die? Where is their growth in my life? Mm-hmm. And they're not well thought. They're not well thought out, but they're planted together and they've grown together, you said, which I thought was rather lovely. It's a sense of randomness, which is all of us. When you think all of us, we all have different, often random experiences, particularly early in our life. And even though they're random, they kind of grow together because they become a part of ourselves and they become this collective, they become us. And almost by, not by design. Yeah, so there's a sense here of something that is deeply a interconnected part of yourself, but when you actually look at it, there's a lot of random different things that have been put together and yet are somehow growing, and yet you're worried, can I keep this together? So there may also be a sense, if we're looking at this for a job lens, there may be a sense that you're bringing together not such random, but bringing together different aspects of your maybe your work life or your personal life, all sorts of things, bringing different attributes together and putting them in one pot and really trying to make it work.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I think one thing that I am really passionate about and that I unlocked kind of like midway through my career is like being able to be a woman at work and not, and you know, I guess this ties back to the Chinese American guy, like I feel like being able to show up as a woman and not having to, kind of going through the stereotypes of being a woman at work and what that means, and not having to shape myself in a way that fits with the men's world. I'm an engineer by training, and so I work with a lot of, you know, male engineers. And at the beginning of my career, I tried to be more like them. And I think, you know, now I am like, I talk in emojis sometimes, and I know they don't. And I think that's fine because I like to. So I think there's probably those random elements of myself that I bring to the picture that, you know, at first they're like, huh. And then I'm like, well, you're going to get used to it.
I love it. That's absolutely fabulous. Well done. That's wonderful. And so I guess because you've started a new job now, and because you don't have the advantage of actually being in the same physical space as them, there may be some part of yourself saying, yeah, am I, is this coming through, or are my emojis getting in the way? Why aren't I getting any feedback here? Sort of reflecting back on your beautiful random things coming together and growing together and how you're growing. But at this early stage of this new job, just questioning yourself a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't. What you've described to us is absolutely beautiful. You know, you need to keep that out there. But unconsciously, we can be our own worst enemies.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it is a very, you know, I work in technical jobs, so it is a very male engineer dominated culture. So it's you do second guess yourself when trying to go against that grain.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So isn't it lovely that you bring almost a female sense into this dream with the symbol of the pot of flowers?
Yeah,
and the roundness and the snakes curled around the plantar. You know, often in dreams that you will sometimes have a sense of straight lines, which are the sort of more angular male, in which sense we mean the yang or the left brain kind of approach to life. And often in dreams we have the more circular and curved kind of feeling for the more female side of ourselves, the more inner world, the more intuitive, the more emotional, the more creative. And so in a sense this pot of flowers seems to represent that female side that you bring into work, and it's like, am I going to get a boarding pass for this? How am I feeling? How are they receiving me here? And it's interesting because when you said that you, it wasn't just the plants, but you particularly loved the planter, it was the moment before you went on and described the planter, the physical planter that the plants grew in, I thought you meant the person who planted the plants. Like, oh, how does she know who planted the plants? It's not that I love the plant, but I love the planter. Oh, who was that? Who was the gardener? So to me, and because dreams do sometimes do puns or plays on words, there may also be that sense of I, Selena, am the planter of my plants, and I'm beginning to, you know, love myself for what I have, how I have grown, and what I've brought into my life.
Yeah, definitely. I am proud of myself for being able to do that, because I think I'm more of a, you know, in a leadership role now, and I think it's very important to set example to other women at the workplace and show that you can be yourself and you can succeed. And that's really important to me, to set that kind of example.
That's beautiful. So that really is acknowledging and respecting the planter, which is yourself, what you're bringing, what you're going to cultivate in this new job that you've been able to cultivate, and literally cultivating plants in other jobs. That's fantastic. It's like a snake. It's curled around. It's got a curled look. What do snakes mean to you?
Not much, just don't like them. Memories or experiences with them.
So there's a sense of there's something about this plant. I love the planter, even though it's got a snake shape, which is something that I don't actually like. But you like the shape in the dream.
I do. I think of it less as the animal, but just the uniqueness of it. That, you know, most pots have this kind of, it's really interesting. I would have called it pot, but after my dream, I called it a planter. So I'm glad you caught that. But the pot is not a usual pot. It just has this, you know, this coiling intricacy about it that I think is really beautiful and unique.
So if we then, that's great that you mentioned that about the pot and the planter. So if we then reflect that back to you, I, Celine, the planter of my life and of everything that I've grown, have a unique intricacy about myself. What would that bring up for you, seeing yourself as a unique intricacy?
Yeah, I do. And I think maybe it goes back to, you know, this medley of different things. I think having grown up in a different culture, being here, but my friends being, you know, from all over different parts of the world, I really care about that. So I think I do bring a unique perspective, I think. And I love, you know, self-improvement. So I read a lot. I go to therapy because I think it's just fascinating that we should do the work. And I'm very conscious of that. And so I think the planter is probably a reflection of how I see life and how, you know, everyone should like work on, I mean, for me, it's really important to work on myself and be completely aware of who I am, what I bring to the table, being the best version I can be. So I think it probably has to do with how I see the life work.
That's absolutely beautifully expressed. That's perfect. I can so see you as the planter and acknowledging the planter. And then that makes it really interesting that you hadn't noticed until then that there were other little plants growing between the coils, and you were disappointed. There was that word disappointed again, that you hadn't noticed it before. And you had this sort of feeling in the dream that I've been so meticulous about how the top looks that I'm disappointed that I haven't noticed what's been growing deeper down in the intricacies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a sense thereof, particularly in the context of starting the new job, maybe I've been meticulous about my presentation and how it looks and what I'm doing, or even when I, Selena, review myself and my life, I have been looking at the top, at that, what I have grown into and what I've produced, and I'm disappointed that I haven't looked more deeply and seen what has grown along the way, down in deeper levels, either back in my past or deeper within myself. But because I have an intense interest in doing the work, as you said, of exploring yourself and being the best version of yourself that you can be, your dream is now saying, yes, so look at all these little plants down here. Look at what you've produced along the way. There's all this other growth happening here as well.
Take me back to the child.
Taking you back to childhood and even, you know, your earlier years in the States, everything that you've ever done, that you've maybe, I guess like many of us, it's easy to say, well, in my journey, and remembering your dream started with a journey, in my journey, I've got to this point in my life and this is what I'm doing, these are my relationships, this is my work, and we kind of focus on this is where I am now, and that there's a lot of value in that, of course there is, this is the now, this is where I'm at, but we fail often to look back at where we've come from. And in the dream, there's a sense of looking back at the little plants that have grown along the way. So in part, it's acknowledgement of our past, of the good stuff, as well as the challenging stuff that we need to explore. But particularly in this dream, the sense of there has been growth that I haven't been focused on. It's looking back at acknowledging all the wonderful things that have grown you to where you are now. Mm-hmm. That you have maybe not taken into account because you've been totally focused on this is where I've got to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's really interesting at that point in the dream where you have the impulse to put it where you find the muds with the worms and the maggots. I'll just put it there for a while.
Yeah.
But then you regret it because you think, I'll never pick it up. So you tell the Chinese American guy to pick it up and bring it home for you. And then you realize that you ask him to do this kind of stuff all the time. So how would you put that in context? How are we going to put that in context at the moment?
I don't know. It's so hard because I don't know why I am. It's very interesting because I feel like there is this like impulsive thing that it feels too much to look at everything at once. And so maybe it has to do with how this journey is hard, right? Like, maybe there is some sort of avoidance on my part. But then I know someone who is studious and has that work ethic will take care of it. So I think that's kind of the dilemma within myself. There's a practical side of me that's like, okay, you know, put your head down, get it done. And then another side of me that's like, ah, why does it matter that I get it done? It's just like, go. And I think that's probably it. Like, maybe there's a part of me that's like, quit this job, who cares? And then there's another part that's like, no, it's good to have a career.
That's exactly, beautifully summarized. You just got that inner conflict just in a beautiful picture there, and you totally get it. So, of course, that's not where you want to leave yourself. And we will go on to the last part of the dream. But that's not where you want to leave yourself. But when a dream can show you, can lay out a conflict, and you can see the two sides so clearly, you know, even without doing the dream alchemy, it means when you open your eyes and look at your life, you can say, yeah, I can see all these areas in my life where I'm stuck between that conflict. Which way do I go? How am I going to resolve this? So awareness is a key to moving forward. Mm-hmm. And even without going to the end of the dream, you know, you might then think, well, maybe it's not just impulsively dumping the whole thing, and it's not necessarily just getting on and putting your head down and doing all the hard discipline work that you always ask yourself to do. Maybe it's somewhere in between. you know, and it seems such a simple solution. It's always that idea of the middle path or the Tao, you know, neither to one extreme nor to the other, but beautifully balanced in between. It's so easily said, and it can be so hard to achieve because our unconscious is, you know, this part of your unconscious, which is the Chinese American, got to put your head down, or the Turkish, got to put your head down, you know, and there's this other part of yourself which is just wants to look after herself. And it's like, you just put that down. You know, and those are really, really strong driving forces, particularly if they're unconscious, they're really strong driving. So the more that you bring them into consciousness and understand them, the more that you can then take steps, including dream alchemy, to bring yourself to a middle point where you don't quite put it down, but you put it down sometimes, but you maybe don't put it down in a muddy, wormy, maggoty place. You maybe put it down, you maybe send it for a little holiday somewhere. And maybe when you put your head down, you do put your head down and you do work really hard, but for 5 hours, not 10. You know, so it's finding that balance. But you have the advantage in the dream that you woke up and you went back to sleep. And not everybody can do this, but you did actually go back and continue the theme for the last little bit, which we're going to look at.
Yeah, that was also just really strange that I was able to, you know, I remember waking up. And I think that's how I was able to remember the whole dream, because I kind of like thought through it. So I had enough time. And then when I fell asleep, I was exactly in the same place, which was really weird.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So many people would love to be able to do that. So you were in the same place, but the planter was gone. Is that right? In its place was the cages of bugs?
Yes.
Okay, so and that gave you the sense of now what did you feel, that the bugs in the small cages was what you needed to pass through the office? You needed to pass the cages of the bugs through the office. That was it, wasn't it? You needed to get permission for taking them with you.
Now I have this like set of bugs that I need to take home. It's no longer the planter, and that's what's required to clear customs, and then I can go home.
That's right. And take the bugs with you?
Apparently, or part, you know, my guy is gonna do it for me, but
yeah. Okay, and that gives you a sense that you have time, so much time, you're going to get a bite to eat. So my take on this last bit, because we are a little bit running out of time and I do want to do some dream alchemy, is that you have identified the bugs, you know, your own bugs, which we have just laid out very clearly. And not only that, but they're in small cages. So it's almost like we have said, okay, or you have said in your dream, I've got all these bugs, but I can't deal with them all together, so I'm going to put them in little cages. It's almost like I look at this box, then I look at this box, then I look at this box. If I go through this development therapy, whatever words you want to put on it, personal work, if I can look at it one bug at a time, then I feel this is something I can do rather than sit down and do the totally Chinese-American thing and do all the bugs in one go and do it really quickly overnight and stay up exhausted. I can just take my time, because you say in that part of the dream, I feel I have time, and I can look at one bug at a time and keep the others in cages. They're not going anywhere. I'll sort them out when I get there. And this is where you can then choose between the Japanese restaurant. It's going to take time. You can be there a long time, or whether you should do something quickly. So it kind of, although we put that spin on your work earlier, it's also come round to put that spin on your personal development journey as well. Mm. One bug at a time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm. So we've got to do some dream alchemy. Which bit of everything we've discussed today really jumps out at you as the sort of the key thing that you would like to work on or transform?
I think the two things that tie together for me is, you know, you grow up, like coming home has to do with not just your experiences and how you shape yourself, but the stories that shape you. And so I think looking back on what I've inherited or what developed along the way where I wasn't particularly, you know, shaping is what's really important, like understanding those stories and what kind of impact they have on me, and rather than putting them down and being like, well, I didn't ask for this, really looking at those one by one.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. So I love the way that you said shaping there, because my hands shot into the air and I started to shape like the snake coiled planter. Was the feeling that I got just by you using the word shaping. And I'm thinking the dream alchemy to do that has to be something along the lines of grabbing that symbol from the dream and investigating the little plants that are growing out the side, what the stories, as you say, the stories, the growths that have shaped you along the way and become the whole pot, the whole planter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So there are a number of ways we could do this. I mean, if you wanted to go totally all out, I guess you're not a potter, are you? That would be ideal.
I did when I was younger, though. In high school, I loved pottery, and I've done many, many pots. So maybe it does tie to that. I loved that.
Okay, that's wonderful. So have a think about how that period in your life and doing that was self-nurturing for you and something that you enjoyed. So I'll give you two dream alchemies and you can pick the one that suits you when you think about it after the podcast. The ideal one would be to go along to a pottery class or somehow sign yourself into some kind of pottery studio, and even if it's just for an hour or two, and make a pot similar to the one in the dream, but it doesn't have to be the same, to let your hands just guide, get that general shape, and then get the feeling of the plants coming out of it. And while you're doing that, that is the alchemy to get back in touch with myself as the planter and the growth and the stories that I've got. And then when that pot is ready, you can bring it home and you can then contemplate it and think about the stories that have made the planter who you are. And that really hands-on shaping thing will give you the feeling of getting back in touch with what you found to be nurturing when you did do pottery when you were at school. So it's also giving that feeling of, I'm not working, I'm nurturing. And it's giving that feeling of, to work on myself, and I'm air quoting you here, to do the personal work on myself doesn't necessarily have to be hard work. It can actually be as beautiful as making a pot. Mm. It can be nourishing and self-fulfilling. That's the one dream alchemy I would give you. And maybe that's the Japanese restaurant version. And maybe the food court version, which, as you say in the dream, perhaps equally, would be to either draw that or to write about it. And perhaps because you mentioned stories, and again, Selena, it's not making a great big job out of it. It's maybe taking two pieces of paper, if you do the writing version or the drawing version, and writing out 10 to 12 little short stories. In other words, each short story is going to be 2 to 3 sentences long. Mm. And they are the stories about the little green growths that at the within the planter, and see what comes up.
I love both of them.
And when you do dream alchemy, it's always important that while you're doing that you have a feeling of transforming what we might call a negative emotion from the dream into a positive one. So we want to transform that sense of dumping something on the one hand and working hard on the other. We want to transform that sense of conflict into a sense of being able to nurture and enjoy and kind of, you know, lead a balance, find a balance somewhere in between. So because we're running out of time, I'm going to leave you to find, as you contemplate your dream and re-listen to the podcast, to find mm-hmm. the emotion that you want to transform in your life to do at the time you do the dream alchemy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. Yes, thank you.
Have you got any last question you want to ask before we wrap this one?
No, this was beautiful. I mean, I thought I knew so much about dreams, but the way you've beautifully walked through it is more than I, you know, more than what I saw in the dream. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Celine. That's wonderful. And thank you for your feedback that tells me how much you've learned from listening to the other episodes of The Dream Show too. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing this amazing dream for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too. That was fabulous, wasn't it? And I was so impressed with Celine's demonstration of the dream interpretation tips and approaches to exploring her dreams that she had picked up not from exploring her own dreams because she hadn't remembered them, but that she'd picked up from her intense interest in listening to the Dream Show podcasts. I do also have to apologize to Celine and to everyone else because there were times during our chat that I was so involved in the discussion that I actually didn't notice that I was mispronouncing Celine's name. I think I started to call her Selena. So deep apologies, Celine, and everyone listening in. We had a chat after we finished recording, as I usually do with the guests, and I asked Celine which of the dream alchemy practices she would probably do, and she said definitely the pottery one. She did remind me, of course, that we are still living in a time of COVID and she's in lockdown, so there's no such thing as going to find a pottery class or a pottery studio. Again, I was so deeply immersed in the dream, I was in dreamland, not in the real world, I think. But she's already, during the chat that I had with her, already planning to order in some clay and do it at home. So I was also really excited that that symbol, the pot or the planter, took her back to her nurturing pottery days at school, which really, you know, fitted in with the whole dream exploration there. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to janeteresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcasts on the menu, and on the drop-down box from there, you'll see how to be a guest on The Dream Show. It's a volunteer thing, so volunteer and give me a good reason to have you, and we'd love to have you. Just a reminder again of the other website, the Dream Academy, where you can go to study the online courses, and there you study in your own time, at your own pace. You access the videos of me chatting with you face-to-face, going over all the courses. You also download notes. You download charts to fill in. There's a lot there happening. dream-academy-online.com. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. And our next episode, episode 243, is due out on May the 20th, 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.